Welcome to Danhausen. Not ready for prime time wrestling.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special edition of Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling. I'm your host, Charlie Butters, and with me, as always, referee extraordinaire, Jared Jayhawk Hawkins. What's going on, Jared?
I actually had a story I wanted to tell on last week's show, and I forgot about it. I want to kind of open with it this week before we get into in what we're doing today.
Okay,
so I was on Facebook not too long before we started recording last week. And somebody had put up a poster of the Winged Eagle belt and all the different guys who held that belt. So you had Hogan on there, you had Savage, Flair, Andre, those type of guys.
Right.
So somebody on there goes, "You're missing somebody." And a couple of people went, "Well, who are we missing, did get an answer. And I started going through it and I went, okay, well, if you count DiBiase, then you're missing him, but he didn't, but his title reign's not recognized. I think we've got everybody. And this person goes, "Well, no, you're missing The Rock." And this lady and I are going back and forth on whether The Rock held the Winged Eagle belt or not. And she finally posted a picture of The Rock holding the Big Eagle and her proof. And I went, okay, I do understand the belts do look kind of similar, but that is not the same belt. That's a different belt that was commissioned, blah, 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 blah. And eventually she goes, "Oh, okay, I thought they were the same belt. No, yeah, no big deal. We're going to try and give it any kind of argument." And I get a private message like 10, 15 minutes later going, "Do you know who you were just in that discussion with?" And I'm like, "I don't recognize the name. No, why?" It was Liv Morgan. Underneath her shoot name.
So you're just fucking talking shit to Liv Morgan online right now?
I wasn't talking shit. We were having, we had a very calm discussion. But I didn't know who I was talking to.
How dare you, sir? She is an angel.
She absolutely is. If she is listening, I want to apologize for getting into an argument with her, but I thought that was interesting.
She's an angel without wings. It's like a person. It's okay.
You notice I am being respectful and not throwing out her real name either. I don't want people trying to hunt her down.
No. Everybody knows her real name. It's been on Pod Van Damme like 8 million fucking times. She has a name that she should actually have in WWE to fit her gimmick. Like, the name she has doesn't make any sense in WWE compared to what her actual name is. So, yeah, that's pretty funny, though. I mean, I'm curious as to... She didn't make the argument that The Rock or that Kane didn't hold it then, because Kane held that belt for a day.
She didn't mention Kane. Nobody mentioned Kane in that conversation. And then the belt does look similar to the Winged Eagle, and that was by design. So I mean, I got it, but it was just, I found it interesting more than anything else. You know me and my obsession with belt.
Who messaged you to tell you who you were arguing with, and where were you arguing about this at?
It was on a mutual friend Facebook page, and it was that mutual friend that ended up texting me, or private messaging me, I guess I should say.
I'm assuming they're in the business.
Yes.
Would I know them if you said their name?
I don't think so.
All right, well, I'll cut this out. Tell me who it is.
Ever hear of... No. He might actually just go under... I want to say he worked like mid-Atlantic state, like North Carolina, place like that, if I'm not mistaken, but...
Huh. No, I never heard of him. Okay, so... let's jump into what we're going to do this week. A little fun game that you, texted me about, and I actually did my homework, albeit couple hours before class started, but I did do, it's pretty easy to do. So, I mean, it's not like it's super difficult. And I thought about it like for a chunk of the day today while I was at work, while I was kind of driving around, I'm like, oh, I might do this. I might have this, like trying to figure stuff out. So.
Okay. Now, and I'm not going to take credit for, I'm going to give credit to Matt Kuhn. I called on his Twitter.
Oh, fuck Matt Kuhn. I'm joking.
Okay. I don't know Matt personally. That guy, from what I hear on Conrad podcast, and honestly, I haven't been looking at a lot of Conrad podcast lately either. So, are they still on the fuck Matt Kuhn kick then?
Dude, I haven't listened to them in months now. I stopped. Okay. I found other stuff to listen to. Support local podcasts.
Pod Van Dam, Wrestling Cheer.
You know, nobody supports us, but support local podcasts.
Okay, but the here, and actually, I'm actually thinking of something similar because what we're doing is we're doing our all-time great WrestleMania card. And the idea was 12 matches, you can only use each wrestler once, and you only have each title on the line once. I actually did something similar years ago, around 1999, 2000, where the idea was use one match from every WrestleMania. And I thought about suggesting that and went, there's no fucking way I'm thinking of 35 matches that are going to actually end up meeting this without having a bunch of shit on it. And then I called this variation with 12 matches and went, okay, we can make that work.
By the way, your a few years ago was 20 fucking years ago.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
You old son of a bitch.
Shut the fuck up. You're not wrong, but.
You look like fucking Mr. Burns right now.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'll kill myself.
Of course, back in my day, the fight didn't last at least 50 rounds. We wanted our nickel back.
I was just watching the fucking episode with where Marge gets like a gambling problem, and he's like in bed with like a giant beard. He's talking about the Spruce Moose, which, you know, who else talks about that all the time? So I'm just like, oh, damn it, Danhausen. All right, so I'm assuming you have 12 matches then, right?
I do have 12 matches, and I'm so looking at my lineup. I'm looking at my lineup, going, I don't have Flair, and I don't have Austin.
So I'm gonna let you do the first two, and then I'll start mine, so we can go back and forth on it, because I only have 10.
Yeah,
that 12 is a very long match card. I mean, WrestleMania 14 was only 8 matches. I was like, I can go 10 matches. You know what? I just thought of something. I can go 11 matches. So you start, and then we'll get into it.
All right. Okay, so what I would end up using for my opening match is my favorite opening match in WrestleMania history. And probably the main reason I don't have Austin on this card, actually, Owen Hart versus Bret Hart, WrestleMania 10. I love that match. I think it's a great way to open the show, great pacing to open the show, great way to get a crowd into the match. Like I said, probably my favorite opening match in WrestleMania history. I've got to have it as my opener.
Yeah, I was thinking about using that one, but I did not use that one. I opted for another favorite undercard match. I put RVD Regal as my first, as my opener, because I really like that match.
Yeah, that's a good one. Intercontinental title on the line for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not on my radar, but I have the Intercontinental title elsewhere, but that's not a bad pick. Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, what else you got?
Okay,
What's your number two? What's your follow-up to that?
Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you here. This wound up being the I need a 12th match, and I couldn't think of anything else. I wasn't already using somebody else on the card. But I'm going to go to WrestleMania 5, the Brainbuster against Strikeforce. And it's kind of a dream match, of course. A year before this, both these teams were defending tag team titles on different cards at about the same time on cable television. Strikeforce lost the WWF title to Demolition, and the Brainbusters lost the NWA title to Barry Windham and Lex Luger at the Clash of Champions. He got kind of a dream match of sorts. Match is very good while it lasts. It is hampered by Rick Martel heel turn on Tito Santana. Actually where the model gimmick came out of. So you've got that going for it. So this match, I think if it would have gotten 5 more minutes, people would be remembering as a Bonafide Classic. No one really remembers it today.
I too have a tag team match following that up. It's one I just thought of. Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie against the New Age Outlaws in a dumpster match.
Not a bad choice. Yeah, not what I'm doing with the tag titles, but that's not a bad choice.
Not what I'm doing with them either, but I mean, I'm pretty sure we're probably on the same wavelength for the tag titles, but.
That is what you're doing with the tag title, if you're using that match. Now a title match.
So, I didn't understand that rule, so I can't pick multiple Intercontinental title matches, but only use the Intercontinental title in one match. It has to no more Intercontinental title matches.
Yeah, the title can only be on the line once.
Okay, so
now if you're using like one of the modern versions of the tag title, like the Raw or SmackDown tag title later on, then yeah, okay. But if you're using that original version that lasted up until like the unification, that's the problem with doing the title. They've been so many different off-brands and shit right now too.
See, I think that's like a picky decision there because that kind of takes away like half my card at that point because I'm not going with. I wasn't even thinking about specific titles. I was just thinking about matches in general that I'd want to see like all on one card.
So you didn't understand that title rule when I sent that to you then?
No.
Ah.
Because, yeah, I don't even have titles listed for any of this other stuff, but I know like a handful of belts were on the line for other stuff. I literally can't use like 1, 2, 3, 4 other matches because they're like world title matches, but they're like different variations and shit.
So we'll go, since we have to edit this part out anyway, we'll go through it and see which ones do and don't work. If we do have the different variations, we can kind of go from there.
Okay, I guess.
Okay, so from there, I'm going into a more recent WrestleMania. And we're going with the United States Championship for me here. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
That's on my list, too.
Excellent. Yeah, I love that match. A culmination of month and month of build-up, which is perfect for WrestleMania. Match is really good on top of it. Also, one of my favorite fall finishes ever, where Owens gets the fingertip on the rope to break the pin. Like, I love that spot. I love that match.
Yeah, I thought it was real good. I don't understand how certain people thought it sucked, but
yeah, a lot of people think that about a lot of Jericho matches. Like, I love hit the Jericho RVD match.
I was specifically talking about McMahon because that was the match he told like Kevin Owens that he hated in the match.
I forgot about that story. But yeah, but a lot of people get the same thing about Jericho and
senile.
A lot of people can't think about Jericho and RVD at King of the Ring 2002, and I love that match. I can't figure out why people didn't like that one either. But what did you have in that? Well, I guess if you have that one, I should just move on then, or?
That was later on, so I mean, we can come back to it. We can still keep going back and forth, I guess.
Right, so what did you have?
Up next, I had Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey for the women's title.
Yeah, I did think about that one. I felt like if I put more than one women's match on the card that I wasn't gonna be taken away from too many other people. And I had a different match in mind for the women's match. But that's a good one. I have no problem that being on the list. And if I were going to go to 13, I would have it on here, probably.
What'd you have next?
All right, WrestleMania 31, Randy Orton and Seth Rollins.
I remember that one. I remember that one fondly.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a good match. It probably would not be on here normally, but that fucking finish where fucking Orton countered the curb stop in the RKO, like, I have to have that finish at WrestleMania. Like, it's got to be here.
I actually have a fun one next. Rey Mysterio versus JBL. It was 20 seconds long. You gotta have a short one in there too somewhere, you know. Quick little something something. Plus, I needed to get Rey Mysterio on the card, and I didn't want to put him in a cruiserweight battle royal, even though then I could have had Ultimo Dragon too. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I thought about throwing in Mysterio and Matt Hardy from 19. That's like a little 6 minute thing, but. But at the same time, it was those two guys only getting 6 minutes. I've always was disappointed by that match. You know?
No.
Okay. Next for me, WrestleMania is not WrestleMania without an Undertaker match. And I'm going to go with the last match that he won in the streak. WrestleMania 29 against CM Punk.
Good choice, good choice. I didn't think about using that one.
Yeah, that is a great match, told a great story. A lot of people bought into the fact that Punk might be the guy to beat the streak. They had actually booked Punk well with the 434-day title reign leading into that. Yeah, so there was actually some drama involved with it, unlike the next year where he lost the streak in a match that everybody went, there's no fucking way he's losing, and he fucking lost and pissed everybody off.
Don't go on a rant now. Calm down. I'm going to go with the main event from the year that Undertaker lost. Daniel Bryan, Batista, and Randy Orton.
Yeah, that is actually what I've got for my main event. I went with that for my world title match.
Yeah, specifically remember the Batista bomb RKO through the announce table spot. And the drama of the... LaBelle Lock trying to get, I think it was Batista to tap. Yeah. I think that's who it was. I just remember somebody being in the LaBelle Lock and them like me just hoping that they tapped so that he would win. So,
yeah, I believe you're correct on that. And I've got that as my main event, but I had to have that final moment of WrestleMania be and all the confetti coming down and everybody chanting yes, yes, yes going off the air.
I have two triple threats on this show, and both of them main evented WrestleMania, and the other one is very questionable. I'm sure you could probably kind of
I think I know which one you're talking about, and honestly. If it wasn't for the fact that I've got one of the guys in that one somewhere else on my list, I might have gone with that one. Yeah, there's one guy on here, like, I had to pick and choose which match he had on there, and I lost, like, three or four potential matches by throwing him in.
You know? It's kind of hard when you got a guy named Mr. WrestleMania, and you can only use him once.
Right. Yeah, you and I are definitely on the same page there. All right, so from here... You have to have a celebrity match on a WrestleMania. And I picked what I feel is the best of the celebrity matches. Bam Bam Bigelow, Lawrence Taylor from WrestleMania 11. And I hate WrestleMania 11 with a freaking passion. Like, I hate that show. But this was actually a pretty good matchup. And it's like the Flair Steamboat of celebrity matches.
Damn, I didn't know that we had to have a celebrity match. I mean, I know it was like it would happen sometimes, but I didn't think of it.
You didn't have to. It's just my head thinking WrestleMania the idea of WrestleMania get celebrities are a big deal. Mr. T main evented WrestleMania 1. You've had Lawrence Taylor here. Fucking Snooki had a goddamn match. You're like,
God, you're so old. That's not even a thing anymore.
What, Snooki?
No, just celebrities being at WrestleMania. It's bigger than that now. It's not about celebrities really.
That's why Maria Menounos shows up every year. It's not about celebrity.
Exactly. Up next was what I was going to use my tag team titles for. TLC, Hardys, Dudleys, Edge, and Christian.
I've got that as well. WrestleMania 17.
Yep.
Great fucking match. Okay, go from there. I'm going to go with my Mr. WrestleMania match. And again, I had a lot to chew from, and some of the ones that I'm not you, and I'm kind of checking myself here, but I've got Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle from 21.
I kind of figured that was where you were going to go with it, because that one was really good. I remember watching that a couple times, actually, and I was going to watch it again here because they just did a thing on it, and I wanted to watch it. Like a new documentary or something, I think, on the network, or it might have been that old WrestleMania matches thing that they like to do. I
just got a notification on my phone like half an hour ago. They're going to WWE Untold with them talking about that match.
Okay, so yeah, there was something new. Okay, yeah, that's... I wanted to watch that because I remember that match. Them two were really fucking good together. Here's my Undertaker match for the year up next. Undertaker, Ric Flair.
Yeah, WrestleMania 18, I can see that one.
Yeah, because that was Biker Taker, and I like Biker Taker. And I was like, I got to get Flair in here somewhere. And I remember that match being a lot of fun, so.
The most memorable part about that one is Arn Anderson coming out and hitting the Spinebuster. But that was the first, first thing Arn Anderson did physically in about 5 years. That was like the biggest pop of the night up to that point.
Yep.
Okay, from there, I'm going to go to my WrestleMania 18 match, and the match is so iconic that I almost felt like I had to put it on here, even though it probably both guys had better matches I could have used, Hulk Hogan and The Rock. And this is on here because this is the WrestleMania atmosphere. The crowd is just absolutely batshit for this match the whole way through. Like, the match doesn't actually have to be good because the crowd's just going nuts for it.
Yeah, the crowd for that kind of made that match. If you take the crowd out of that and don't have them, let them participate, that match was hot garbage. But with that crowd, it was like that match couldn't happen at this year's WrestleMania. Let's put it that way.
And I said, like, every year of WrestleMania times, like, people get into bitter arguing whether the match was any good or not. And I'm kind of going, you know what, I'm not a fan of it, but you can't, if you watch that and hear the crowd, like, you can't shit on it at that point. Like, that was clearly the match everybody came to see that year.
Right. Even though it should have been Stone Cold Hulk Hogan, but whatever.
Yeah, I agree there. The thing is, because, like, you thought you were going to have Austin for a couple more years and you could get to that match. You didn't know how long you're going to have The Rock, but The Rock was hitting Hollywood at that point.
True, but yeah. Still. My next match is going to be my Kurt Angle match for WrestleMania, but it's going to be Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I thought about that one as well.
I had to give Eddie a spot on the card, and that's one of my favorites, him and Angle. So I was like, yeah, that's.
I don't have Eddie on here either. Fuck. That's just not talking about. I don't even have Eddie Guerrero on this fucking thing. Okay, if we were doing one match from every WrestleMania, I'd probably end up having like Eddie Guerrero and Test from 17 on here to get the European title in, but I'd have to fill the European title somewhere, you know. But
I would just like to point out that all the people that you'd expect Jared to have on his card, not there. They're on mine. So that's kind of weird.
All right, from there, this is where I have the TLC match from 17, Dudley, Kedge, and Christian, the Hardy, for the tag title slotted. Again, that's just one of those matches that even today, it's just the spot here insane, and the crowd's nut for it. Like, this is a ladder match that holds up really well.
Yeah, that's still one of them all times, man. Just thinking, like, 10 years, we're going to remember, like, how crazy this WrestleMania was because there was no fans in attendance. It was, like, the weirdest, like, WrestleMania that shouldn't have existed, basically.
See, the weird thing is, like, I'm looking at the card, and obviously I'm not that excited about it because of the no fans and, yeah, it's going to be in the performance center and all that. If this WrestleMania had a crowd, I would really be looking forward to it. There's potentially good shit on this WrestleMania.
Yes and no. I don't. Some of the stuff that I was kind of hoping for certain people just didn't pan out. Like, I really personally don't want to see Bobby Lashley against Aleister Black, I think that's just a thrown together bullshit match. But I was kind of hoping for him to kind of start a feud with Rollins and maybe do into that. Maybe we'll get into that after Kevin Owens, but I don't know. Kind of bummed about where they placed Aleister on this after like talking about how he was going to be like one of their big guys to come out of the show. So up next was my Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho.
Okay, I've got my women's title match flooded in here, and I did think about the triple threat match. I could have technically used both because they can get a different version of the women's title. But it was, I've got Trish Stratus and Mickie James from 22.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing a match from back then, like, but I'm like, none of those matches were really super, would do the belt justice, in my opinion. Like, the reason I picked that triple threat is because A, it was a main event, and B, it did the women's division justice. Like, if I was only going to do one match on the card, it needed to do them justice. So I felt like that match would be like a accurate representation of where the athleticism for women is at the current moment. So
yeah, I was also trying to think in terms like you were thinking of as well with match time too, because I've already got Bret and Owen going 20 minutes, Jericho Owen will close to 20 minutes, Undertaker Punk will go almost 30, Angle HBK will go over 20. I got my main event going 30. I was trying to think of something that was at least, that was fairly short to plot in somewhere too. That one about 8 minutes opposed to another 25 to 30. Yeah, because I mean there were some conscious decisions to kind of keep the card not going 20 hours.
Right. So, what'd you have next? You just did.
I just did Trish and Mickey, okay. So it's your turn.
I guess my turn. Okay. I'm going to go with another triple threat, Benoit, Michaels, and Triple H.
Yeah, I really wanted to try to find a spot on my card for that match because I do love that match. And the moment with Benoit and Eddie celebrating afterward, like that's a moment that you just can't forget, especially if you saw it live and knew the story between those guys.
Yeah. It was a toss-up. It was either going to be that, or I was going to reshuffle things, and it was going to be the Benoit-Jericho-Kurt Angle match. Because I really like that one with both belts on the line. Yeah. I like that match.
Yeah, I thought about that one as well, but I've got the Intercontinental title flooded elsewhere. And I could not take that match off the card, and that's actually what I've got next. WrestleMania 3, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat.
I was waiting for that to show up on your card.
when we first decided, yes, we're doing this project, I had like three matches in mind that I had to put on there. I had to put that one on, I had to put my main event on, I had to put Owen Brett on. Like those were the three that I had to plot somewhere, that those were not coming off no matter what else I did. And if I only being able to use the Intercontinental title once, I had to be able to, yeah, that took a lot of good options out. I could have put Brett against Piper. Already used the Intercontinental title. Couldn't do that. All kinds of things I could have done. I've been willing to waver, but.
Right on.
It should be your main event, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, it's my main event. And obviously there's two names that I have not used yet that you would think that I would have already. So it's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin against The Rock.
Which one?
We're going to go with their first encounter.
Go 15.
Yes.
Okay.
I know you don't like that WrestleMania personally, but that was the first WrestleMania that I actually purchased with my own money. I was still living at home at the time and still in school, but it was like with my allowance, I was able to purchase that because wrestling was big enough. Like, that was my thing. Like, I could get a pay-per-view once in a while, and I waited for Mania, so. I'm pretty sure I actually got Rumble that year, because that's the year Vince won. Then right. I got St. Valentine's Day Massacre to see Stone Cold win the title match back. And then I got WrestleMania, and I don't think I got Backlash from that year. but maybe not. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't get the next one after that, but I did like four consecutive I was able to get. So we must have had some money at that time.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That could match that very, what's the word I'm looking for here? If you need an Attitude Era match on there, that'd be a good one to pick.
It was a hard choice, though, because if I did their second meeting, I could use that super awesome Limp Bizkit music video for My Way. And that's, like, one of my favorite all-time, like, videos from WWE is that. So, it was a hard choice, but I was like, I gotta go with the original where Stone Cold won the belt back, so.
Okay, and that leads to my main event, which we mentioned earlier, WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Daniel Bryan defeating Batista and Randy Orton. Yeah, Daniel Bryan winning the belt, confetti coming down, 70,000 fans in New Orleans chanting, great, your WrestleMania moment to go off the air with.
Yeah, it was a feel-good moment right there.
Now, next year, we need to do this project and have you actually follow the title match rule and what happened.
Well, you can go to hell, first off.
Okay, Tony Schiavone, I'll go ahead and do that.
So, did you enjoy any of the AEW April Fools that they did?
The only one I saw was something about the Tiger Cage match or some shit. I didn't even know what the fuck that was. That was the only one I saw.
Well, they did too. They did. The first one was Death Triangle was now Death Square, and they added Excalibur to the group as like their manager, which I bought into for a second when I first saw it. I was like, oh, that's fucking sweet. I dig that. That works even better. Like, cool. And then I'm like, but they just put out Death Triangle fucking merchandise. I was like, that's kind of silly. And they had like a free like wallpaper for your phone that was Death Square, and I downloaded it. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I was like, I'll probably never use this, but it's cool to have. And then, like, I realized, like, oh, fuck, it's April 1st. I wonder if that's some baloney. And then they released that 8 bears against, like, 20 wrestlers in a cage thing. And I was like, oh, okay, they're actually going to do stuff for April Fools this year when everybody else is like, no, we're not playing that game this year because this whole, like, situation is a damn April Fool's. But you know who this is probably going to get covered on Pod Van Dam, but you know what, I gotta cover it on here because this is just silly to me.
I think you know where you're going. I actually just called it before we start recording, if I'm right, but go ahead.
Okay, so apparently WWE superstars did not get the memo to not fake pregnancies for April Fool's.
Yeah, exactly what I thought it was. Yep.
Like, yeah, that's been like a moratorium thing for like 3 years now, and you're still trying to do it. I know, like last year, apparently Ronda Rousey was going to do it, like right before her WrestleMania match, and now Tynara Conti was going to do it. Well, did it? I'm just like, oh, come on.
And she got Natalya and Renee Young both with it, by the way.
Ugh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but literally, I didn't see it actually on Twitter. I don't follow Tynara Conti. But a friend of mine posted it on Facebook earlier today, and I went, oh, okay, I would have heard something about this before now, and then I clicked on the tweet, called the date, and went, oh, okay. And then just out of curiosity, I looked through the comment, kind of like the first one with Natalya congratulating. I'm like, really, Natty, you bought that?
Well, Natty's technically a boomer, so, you know. They fall for that kind of stuff.
Natty is still younger than me, dude. Go fuck off.
You're a boomer, too. It's okay.
I'm not a fucking boomer, dude.
Told you, you're like the age of Mr. Burns. It's how this is.
Mr. Burns isn't a boomer either. He's like three generations before a fucking boomer.
Bunch of damn old people up here trying to tell me that they're not old.
Get off my lawn, motherfucker.
There you go. See? I knew you had it in you. Well, I hope everybody had fun with this. Let us know what your dream WrestleMania cards would be. Tweet us at NotReady4PTW on Twitter, or tell us on Facebook at NotReady4PTW. And maybe we'll check our Instagram at NotReady4PTW if you decide to comment on something there, which we haven't used it in a while. So don't know why you would do that. Or you could email us and we just won't get it until, you know, next week at NotReady4PTW@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our other podcast friends, Wrestling Cheers. They've been doing some fun stuff with the free time, doing some AIW fan cast episodes. I was on the first one. I know that they got some really cool interviews coming up. I'm excited for those. I was given some inside info since, you know, I'm on that show sometimes. And I'm super excited for at least two of the interviews. So,
should I give you some props for being one of the few people that got name dropped on the Card of Going to Change Q&A episode this week?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's only because Thorne thought that it was Potato asking for X-Pac, and it wasn't. It was me. So I guess I should give props to Potato because he's been trying to get X-Pac there, too. And that's like my next big get for a wrestling guest is X-Pac. I want him. I want to meet him. So even though I had the chance and I saw him and talked to him at All In weekend, I didn't get a photo with him and I didn't get, you know, an autograph. So he's got to come to AIW so I can get that.
Yeah, he would have to deal with Giddy Kong last time I went. I talked to him for a few minutes. Pretty cool dude, too. So.
Yeah. So where can they find you on the old Twitter machine there, sir?
Yeah, you can find me on the old Twitter machine at PW Critique. Find me on Facebook and every once in a while on Instagram at Jayhawk1539. And you can start finding me on Twitch at TSMJayhawk. So if you're really that bored with no sports happening, watch my Twitch. I'll be playing baseball and Final Fantasy on there most week in the next month.
Right on. You can find me at Charlie_Butters. And I don't know. I haven't really tweeted much lately. Just some random shit. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we will talk to you next week with a special MLW Goodbye MJF edition of Not Ready for Primetime Wrestling. See you later, everybody.
Anything you can do to entertain yourself right now?
Yes, because Lord knows Jared is spending most of his time eating Cheetos and masturbating. So,
yeah, my dick turned into a weird color orange. It's really weird.
Kind of looks like Trump now. Got this weird patch of hair on the head of it. And I don't know.
Yeah, I just kind of play along and it's still turning into a direction I didn't want to go with it. Okay.
You're welcome. And I might leave that one in for you.